And somebody say, praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, you alone are worthy of honor, all glory, praise, and honor is to your name. You alone conquered death. You alone deserve the praise. We stand here, God, because of your mercy. You reached out to us and we responded and we want to follow you. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your love is everlasting. And it doesn't matter what comes into our lives, God, you are there. And you meet our needs and you provide and you supply and you help around and you lead us and you guide us and you're all over the place. Thank you for that. Thank you for your angels who are standing guard, always ministering to our every need. And Father, we just pray that you just descend. You just descend. Thank you for this great worship time. Thank you for Adriel, my dear brother. God, you just pray you bless. We just pray you bless him. His life, his future. Thank you for bringing him our way. Thank you for my friend Pastor Joanne back there. God, he's another anointed man that you are using. God bless him. And God, today we open the Bible. It is your book. Help us understand. And we pray, Lord God, that you speak to our hearts through what happened to your dear son while he was hanging on the cross. We give all glory to you. Minister to our needs, God. We pray somebody be willing to reach out to you today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to the Gospel of John chapter 19. We're slowly making our way to Easter, Resurrection Day. And we are looking at Jesus' statements from the cross while he was hanging there between heaven and earth, opening heaven door for all of us who believe. So today we talk about the third statement Jesus made from the cross. Last week we talked about the heart of Christ, and the heart of Christ is that while he was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Them who? Them, the Romans who put big old spikes on his feet and his hands. Them, the pompous religious leaders who sentenced him to die. Father, forgive them, the bloodthirsty bystanders who made fun of Jesus. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Wow, what a glorious God he is. That's the heart. That's the heart of God. And then we talked about the happiness of Christ, and that is when he said to the criminal that wanted him to forgive him, Jesus said to him, today you will be with me in paradise. The criminal hanging there turns to Jesus at the very last moment, at the very last hour. And he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Savior, save me. And Jesus said, you crazy. No, he didn't say that, did he? He didn't say, you crazy. You lived your life all this way, and all of a sudden you're reaching out to me. You are your mind. No, Jesus said, oh, I tell you the truth. Today, when you die, you're going to be in heaven with me. You're going to be in paradise. See, that was like in the midst of the suffering of Christ, God was giving Jesus a little bit of happiness because that criminal got saved. Jesus had said at one time, the Son of Man did not come to seek and to, came to seek and to save the lost. That's why Jesus came. So people get saved. And the criminal got saved. And what a glorious, beautiful moment that was. For your notes, I want you to write this down. Salvation is for everyone. If salvation was for the criminal on the cross, I want to tell you, salvation is for everyone. Criminal or model citizen, young or old. If you're watching me on Facebook, I want to tell you, salvation is for you if you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ to save your soul. Before we look at the third statement that Jesus made on the cross, I want us to think real quickly about what is considered the greatest statement Jesus ever made. We tend to remember statements that our parents told us when we were growing up. We remember certain things. I remember certain things my daddy told me. I cannot tell you some of those things from the pulpit, but there are some things I remember that he told me. But we remember things like a parent saying, hey, if you break your leg, don't come running to me. All right, it's like, how could that be? You break your leg, you come running. And, you know, they're one of those statements, I brought you into the world, and I can take you out early. Sure, yeah. Threaten our kids, their lives. My dad used to eat apples all the way to the core. I mean, he didn't care. I mean, he'd crunch them like he was eating peanuts, and there'd be nothing left at the end. And you could hear him crunching those seeds. So I tried it one time. My mom said, boy, you eat those seeds, a tree is going to start growing in your belly. I stopped eating seeds from the apple. So we remember things, and we remember Bible statements. Even people who are not necessarily Christians, they know Bible statements, some of them. Like, for example, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We remember things like that. We remember, even if people don't go to church, they remember, the Lord is my shepherd. Yes. And then they remember, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Remember things like that. But it seems like for many people, the greatest statement Jesus ever made was John 3:16. And the reason why I'm also pushing John 3:16 is because today is March 3:16. And so John 3:16, Jesus said this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. We're really not going to get into all of the details of this, but let's just break it down real quickly so we can get into the third statement Jesus made from the cross. For God. That means God started it all. God initiated the process. For God so loved the world. The word so love is immeasurable. You cannot measure the word so. A child will say to you, I love you so much. Well, how do you measure so much? You can't. I love you so much. When you were dating your sweetheart, and I know it was kind of infatuation, but you wrote him a note, or you wrote her a note. I love you, 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 heart. Love you so much, for God so loved. It's like Jesus said, I love you so much that he was willing to die just like that, right? I love you so much. God started it all. You don't come to God whenever you want. I don't go to God whenever I want. God draws me to himself. God drew you to himself. God starts it all. His love starts it all. He's thinking about you before you ever take a thought about him. If you're watching me on TV, if you've never given your heart to Christ, I want to tell you, God's thinking about you. God's thinking about your name, who you are, what you're all about. God already knows you, and he loves you. He's thinking about you. For God so loved the world. The world meaning everybody from every culture, from every color. God so loved the world. Any race, your racing, any religion. Write this down for your notes, please. Every life matters to God. Every life matters to God. It doesn't matter who you are, what kind of skeletons you have back in your closet, what kind of junk dirt you have under your rug. Everyone matters to God. You come from a broken home, God loves you. You come from a home that has still both parents loving each other, God loves you. You don't go to church, you've never been to church ever, Or maybe you don't remember the time you went back to church. God loves you. You go to church every week, God loves you. You reek of alcohol sometimes, God loves you. You're hooked on drugs, God loves you. You say, I just don't pray, God loves you. You pray every morning, God loves you. You're healthy and strong, God loves you. You're successful and wealthy, God loves you. You're poor, God loves you. It don't matter who you are. You're straight, God loves you. You've chosen an alternative lifestyle, God loves you. You can't get away from that fact. It don't matter what you put in there. God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave. God is a sacrificial giver. He gives and he gives and he gives some more. It's like a daddy who doesn't give bad gifts to his kids. God is a good dad who gives good gifts to his children. That's what Jesus said. God's a giver, man. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him, that criminal believed. He knew the only chance he had for eternity was to turn himself over to Jesus. Oh, man. God gives so anyone who believes finds eternal life. He knew Jesus could save him. You know, when you go to Jesus, he doesn't ask questions of you. He just says, come on. When you go to Jesus, he's not putting any prerequisites for you to be a follower. He just says, come on. When you go to Jesus, he's not asking you, hey, you got to clean up your life before you decide to follow me. No, 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 that's not the way he is. Jesus says, come follow me, and I'll just be with you forever. And then he begins to work you inside and out, man. I was by the bedside of a dying woman one time. She didn't have long to live, but she was very conscious, and she was very coherent, and she was listening and understanding, and, you know, God put on my heart to share the gospel with her right then and there, last hour, and I did. Family was there, her family. I never met this woman. I never met any of those people. But I told her about Jesus, and I said, listen, if you would like to ask Jesus in your heart, you can do that right now. She said, I want to. I want Jesus in my life. And she asked Jesus to save her soul. And she died. I'm going to see her again in heaven. That woman became a believer, born again, and then she went straight to heaven. And you know what happened? It was like a domino effect. Then people in her family started getting saved. The deal, man. God says, come on. And so the criminal is in heaven today. The guy that was hanging on the cross next to Jesus. And that woman is in heaven today. We're going to get to meet that guy and that woman one day in heaven. Boy, I tell you what, if you don't know where you're going to spend eternity, whether it's hell or heaven, you know, there is a hell to avoid and a heaven to gain. You can ask Jesus Christ to save your soul today. You need to know that you know that you know that you know that you have eternal life when you die. That's the important thing of life. You got to know that Jesus saves your soul and you're going to be in heaven one day. All right, so let's get into the third statement Jesus made. I'm in John chapter 19, verse 26. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, that would be John, the guy who wrote that book that we're in right now, Gospel of John. And he also wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John at the very back of the book. And God also inspired him to write Revelation. So when he saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, meaning John, he said to her, dear woman, and that sounds kind of rough a little, but in those days I was reading, that was respectable address to your mom. Dear woman, here's your son. So she says to her, hey, listen, that guy standing next to you, John, that's your son. And he said to this disciple, here's your mother. And from then on, this disciple took her into his home. You know, one thing we don't think about a lot is the tears that were shed at Calvary. We go through the Passion of the Christ. We did some last week. And we talk about how horrible it all was. We seldom ever do. We think about the people that were just crushed and brokenhearted and were crying. And I'm sure Mary, Jesus' earthly mom, was crying her eyes out. Mary's now somewhere about around her mid-40s, maybe. She may have some gray showing here and there. She has some wrinkles. Her husband, Joseph, many commentators and theologians believe that he had died for a while. And she's standing there probably sobbing. And she may have remembered something that happened when she brought Jesus to the temple with her husband to dedicate him. So the Bible says that Jesus is born, and then they take him to the temple to be dedicated, and there's a guy there by the name of Simeon. You remember the story? There's a guy there by the name of Simeon, and Simeon says something that I'm sure this woman never forgot. Simeon grabbed Jesus, right, picked him up. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother. This is out of Luke chapter 2 from the Good News Translation. Oh, no, the God's Word Translation. Simeon says, this child, this baby, chosen by God for the destruction and the salvation of many in Israel, he will be a sign from God, which many people will speak against and so reveal their secret thoughts. And here it is right here. And sorrow, he's talking to the woman, Mary, and sorrow, like a sharp sword, will break your own heart. And here she is with her heart broken into little tiny pieces. I'm sure she had flashbacks while Jesus is hanging on that cross for 6 hours. I would imagine she remembered the night when she laid baby Jesus on that pile of hay on a feeding trough. I'm sure she remembered the lullabies she sung to Jesus. As she's crying there, I'm not sure. I'm going to have to ask her when we get to heaven. But I would imagine she remembered Jesus' very first few steps as a toddler. I'm sure she remembered the time. The first time Jesus scratched his knee and she had to kind of put some oil on it to make him feel a little better. In the island, we say, sana, sana, colita de rana, sana, sana, colita de rana. That means heel, heel, toad's tail, heel, heel, toad's tail. It probably makes no difference to you guys or doesn't make an... Did they do that in Cuba, bro? Sana, sana, colita de rana. Right, that's what my mom would do. I get all messed up and she'd be like, sana, sana, colita de rana, sana, sana, colita de rana. It's better. Try it. Mary may have had the flashbacks of sitting next to little Jesus, telling him the many great things she had heard God had done for his people, Israel. She's there, she's crying. She has this emptiness of heart, but this emptiness of heart is something that had been happening now for a while. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us this. This is something we can imagine. Okay? The Bible doesn't tell us this. But when, about 3 years before the cross, the moment came when Jesus went to Mary and said, Mom, John is preaching out by the Jordan, and I got to go. We're not told that in the Bible. But I want to tell you, when he walked out that door from his home, as far as we know, he never returned. Her heart had been empty for a while. He walked out. This was the separation. This was the separation from him being raised by Mary and Joseph, right? And now the separation where he is about to start his mission and his ministry. And so all of a sudden, there was a change taking place. He went from being son to savior. From being dear to divine. Are you with me in what I'm saying? All of a sudden, there was a change. He was not only Jesus, my boy. He was Jesus, the Lord and the King. The God of all glory. He was Jesus, the creator of the heavens and the earth. So when he walked out of that home, he walked out looking forward to returning to his heavenly throne. And this, you can see the separation happening while Jesus is doing ministry on earth. There is a story in the Gospel of Mark where Jesus is at a house and it's jam-packed, man. People are always wanting to see Jesus. They're always wanting to touch Jesus. They're always wanting to hear what he has to say because he spoke with authority like no one before. That's what the Bible says. And so Jesus is speaking and the house is jam-packed and here comes Mary. And Jesus' stepbrothers and sisters, Jesus' other children after Jesus, right? They're coming there. Jesus is in town, and so they go to the house. There's nobody, there's no way they can go in there. There's so many people. And so the Bible says, someone said, this is Mark chapter 3, verse 32 through 35. Someone said to Jesus, your mother and your brothers are outside asking for you. Jesus replied, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Then he looked at those around him and said, look, these are my mother and brothers. Anyone who does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. He wasn't being rude. He's just saying, change is happening. This was early in his ministry. And how now he's at the cross. Mary is weeping for him. And I'm sure she's weeping for him as a mother weeps for her child. Who wouldn't? But she's also weeping for him because because he is her Lord. And now he's being tortured. I want you to write this down so we never, ever forget this, okay? We never, ever forget this. I want you to write down the word follower on the blank that you have in your notes. Mary became a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. She had to become a follower, just like everyone else. Because only Jesus sins and only Jesus gives eternal life and only Jesus is the one to be prayed to, right? So Mary had to follow Jesus. She became a follower. And when you read in the book of Acts, she became a follower. For your notes, write this, the word humanity of Christ at the cross, the end of the humanity of Christ was unfolding. So he says to her, dear woman. He didn't call her mom. A sign of respect, call her woman, dear woman. It's like Jesus was cutting the cord. Dear woman, here's your son, meaning John, you're going to take care of her from now on. And you know, tradition tells us, yeah, John took her home and treated her like his own mother. Tradition says that John left for Ephesus eventually. He went to Ephesus, over there to the church of Ephesus, and he brought Mary with her. And in fact, I was reading that 3 miles from the remains of the old Ephesus, there's a house they are really certain is the Virgin Mary's house. That's what it's called, the Virgin Mary's house. So John followed up with what Jesus said. Asked him, hey, take care of her. And he did. And there in Ephesus, she lived her final days. All right, so two ideas to make it practical, then we'll close this out. Number one, very simple. As I'm reading this, I'm like, Lord, what does that mean to me? What does that mean to our people? Well, number one, God wants to meet your need. God wants to meet your need. Amazing that Jesus is suffering the way he's suffering, and he's still conscious of his human mother's need. She had a need. Granted, she had other kids, but none of them obviously has stepped up to the plate, like they say in baseball. So Jesus, although he's suffering, he looks at her, he sees her crying, and knows, he knows. He's been with her for 30 years, right? He knows, boy, she's got some physical needs, because I'm sure Jesus was a provider. She has some physical needs, and she has some emotional needs. Who's going to meet those needs? And so Jesus appoints John to meet her needs. John 11:28. From the Good News Translation goes like this. Come to me, all you who are tired from carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. You ever get tired of carrying the load? I know nobody raised their hand. I guess that was a hypothetical question. Let me just say, I get tired of carrying the load. Oh, thank you all. That's nice. It's okay. You don't have to raise your hand. That's what we do. We tend to carry our own loads. Jesus says, come to me, and I'm gonna relieve you of that burden, take some of that weight off. But we don't do that often. We just say, well, I know what to do. I know what to do. And so we carry our own, and it gets tiresome. Now, something we want to make clear of this, because Jesus wants to help us. God wants to help us, right? Before you know, so I want you to write this down. God's not saying he's going to take away your burden. He's saying he'll help you deal with it. God's not going to take away your burden. Sometimes he does, but sometimes he doesn't. He just says, I'm going to help you deal with it. I thought about maybe if you're riding on the highway and you get a flat tire. Isn't it Murphy's Law when you have a flat tire that your trunk is full of junk and you got to unload? Yeah, you see it sometimes on 528. There's a pile of junk on the side of the car because they have to take all that out before finding the jack. So you find your jack and you try to undo the lug nuts in those tires, and you remember, if it's happened to me, I'm sure it's happened to you, you remember that when you put that tire and you had it done at the tire shop, they took that gun and they went, and that means it's there, but it's continuing to go as hard as they can. Yeah, when you're looking at that, you're like, stop, bro, stop. It's done. It's over. It's in there. And then they go to the one. And then you have a flat tire. You're like, I can do this. You can't. It's happened to me. I'm like, insane. And I'm like, why do they use it? But then some kind soul stops. And this guy's like, oh, I'll take care of this, bro. And he gets it done. He helps you out. Okay, wonderful. He lent a hand. But all of a sudden, you have a flat tire in your trunk, and you have a Mickey Mouse tire that's making your car hobble around for the rest of the trip. You still have an issue. But thank God that somebody stopped to help. And I think what the Lord is saying here with him saying, hey, listen, put your burdens on me, is that he's saying, hey, listen, I'm going to help you with your needs. It doesn't mean that your life is going to be all good and perfect and no problem. But Jesus is saying, I'm going to be there for you. So, you and I are going to go through life, for your notes, trusting God. Because he will lift our burden, but we still have issues. You know, he looked at John, Jesus, and said, hey, woman, there's your son, there's John, there's your mother. Well, she still had a whole bunch of needs. But John was going to start helping her through it. God uses people, right? God uses people. I remember, I'll never forget this, and I know Doug will never forget it either. The time one of our ladies said, I need somebody to help me move. Well, everyone else was working. So Doug and I were not, we're working, but we're like, hey, we can help. We'll help out. Remember that, Doug? Never forgot. Because when we got there, we realized she was in the second floor. And we were about to unload her apartment from the second floor to the parking lot. We're old. The man is old. But I am old too. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying this. I'm not saying. So we were like, oh, we can do this, y'all. So we go up there and up and down and up and down. And I want to tell you, I took some serious pills after that. You did too, right? I had to medicate myself. Because I could barely walk the next day. If you're like me, I'll be like, oh. And then him and I said, we'll never do that again. Ever. But for that day, for that moment, we helped her out. She had issues. Still, she had to unload the junk. Well, her stuff. Okay? She had to unload all her stuff wherever she was going, and she was moving. I mean, the Lord used us to help. But there were still going to be issues. And I think that's why 1 Thessalonians 5:11, the Apostle Paul says, so encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. So we encourage her. And so you want to be an encourager to the others. Okay? Because God will use you. For your notes, real quickly, I got to speed this up. Be there. Wherever God says, be there. I know people have said to me, well, I don't go to God and talk to God because I know God is busy. What? People have said to me, God is busy with all the world affairs. I mean, who am I to be little old me to be asking? No, let your little old you ask. Because God is never too busy. He is omnipotent. All right, number two, we got to run. Number two, God, here's from the cross. So God's, by God talking to Mary, he's saying, I help you out. And he says that to us too. He wants to help. Number two, God is faithful to his word. That's one thing we learn about this, the sayings of Jesus on the cross. God is faithful to his word. So here's what you and I want to do. Find out what he has said. God says, I'm going to be faithful to my word. Okay, then find out what God says. Because God is going to always be faithful. He will never contradict what he said here. You say, where do you get that from, man? Psalm 68, verses 4 and 5. Psalm 68, verses 4 and 5. Sing praises to God and to his name. Yes. Sing loud praises to him who rides on the cloud. What? We ride on scooters. We ride the waves. We ride on cars. God says, I ride on the clouds. That's way above us, right? His name is Lord, is the Lord, rejoicing his presence. Now here it is. Father to the fatherless, defender of the widows. This is God, whose dwelling is holy. For your notes, Jesus on the cross, defender of the widow. You can go to a whole bunch of other places. I just felt like this is where I needed to hang out. 1 Timothy 5:8, the Apostle Paul writes, but those who won't take care of their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers. You know, kids today think the parents owe them. But he's saying here, hey, listen, take care of your relatives, parents. Jesus on the cross, for your notes, real quickly, provider of his own. So he is a defender, but he's also a provider. And then one more, we close it out with a story. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Peter, Jesus' right-hand man, says on the book of 1 Peter, turn all your anxiety over to God because he cares for you. Turn all your anxieties over to God because he cares for you. Did you hear that? Turn all your anxieties over to God because he cares for you. Jesus on the cross, caring for you. God is faithful to his word. Jesus came to the cross, saved us. God the Father sent his son to die for us. I close with this story. World War II. A grandpa was walking with his little four-year-old down the street. And in those days, people sometimes would hang stars on the windows. And the boy said to his grandpa, why are the stars in the windows? He said, well, the stars represent that there was someone in that house that went to war. If it was a blue star, it represented that there was somebody from that house that had gone to war. If it was a gold star, it represented that somebody in that house had died. And so they're walking around, and the grandpa tried to explain the heartbreak of the house, the home, because of the stars. But it became a game for the kid. He's counting stars, two blue stars over here, one gold star over there, and three stars over here. And then they came to a house where there were no stars on the windows. And the kid asked, how come there are no stars in the window? And the grandpa said, well, that family had no sons to give. And they kept walking, and they came to the end of the street, and there was an empty lot, and the sun was going down, and as darkness began to fall on where they were, the boy saw a bright star in the west. And he said, ah, Grandpa, God hung a star in his window, and he saw that it was gold. And he said, and God's son died. Yeah. That's the way it went. Man, we celebrate Easter. The Son of God died, but man, he came back to life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. If you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, you need to. You need to do that today. Never given your heart to Christ? You need to do that today. So let's pray together. Father, thank you for Jesus. He died. He rose again. Maybe you're listening to me in the computer, or you're sitting here and you say, how do I ask Jesus in my heart? Then this is what you do. You ask the Lord, you pray to the Lord something like this. Lord, thank you for Jesus. I believe. Whoever believes, I trust that Jesus died for my sins. And I believe he's the only one that can help me. Lord, please forgive me. I come to you as I am. Lord, please give me eternal life. And I'm going to commit my life to following you. Help me right now. Save my soul. If you prayed that at home or where we are, I want to tell you, God just entered your life and he will never leave you. And if you just prayed that prayer for the first time, you just asked Jesus Christ to save your soul. Yeah, no ceiling tiles came down. There's no thunder rolling. But if you prayed that prayer, God heard your prayer and he already saved your soul. If you prayed that prayer for the first time ever, you've never done that before, will you raise your hand? I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to stand or come forward or do anything. I just want to pray for you. You say, man, I just prayed that prayer for the first time. Anybody here? Anybody here? Father, thank you. Thank you for our parents. They are so awesome. Thank you for the people that raised us with love and care. Thank you for providing for us through them. Oh, my God, may your blessings be on them and you help us, whoever are the children, care for our relatives, God, and help us be the kind of people, holy God, who not only help our families but help each other and care for each other. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his death on the cross. Thank you for loving us so much. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you so much for hanging with me.